you are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Well, from time to time, we do mention the training that we all take at various companies, and we all think, well, some of that stuff is obvious when we watch the little acting that goes on in these training sessions, and we watch videos, and we have to do it. It's part of our job. And Michael saw a fascinating op-ed in the New York Times, and the subject was, what if diversity training is doing more harm than good? Michael thought it was a terrific column. It was written by Jesse Singel. Now, Jesse's a contributing writer at New York, and he's also got a podcast, co-host of a podcast called Blocked and Reported. It can be found on the iHeartRadio app. He's also author of the book, The Quick Fix, Why Fad Psychology Can't Cure Our Social Ills. Jesse, we welcome you to the program, and you struck a nerve. Now, we're not picking on diversity training. We take a lot of different training, but you singled out, well, that's your name, but you singled out diversity training. What'd you find?
First of all, I welcome any puns with my name, so don't worry about that.
Very good.
You know, I'm sort of a nerd about psychology, and I've been writing about it for a while, and, you know, there's a lot of debate and controversy over which sorts of diversity trainings help and which don't. And if you look at the research, it looks like America is spending billions of dollars on these trainings, and there's effectively no evidence they work. And there's a pretty strong sort of more theoretical case you could make that they might be causing harm in some cases.
Well, what is that case that they're causing harm? Why are they causing harm?
The case is that, especially since George Floyd's murder, there's been an uptick in these sort of more radical trainings that they're pretty out there. I mean, these trainings, you know, teach participants things like if I say America is a melting pot, that statement harms my colleagues of color. And so it's just sort of this more radical strain that I think most Americans don't believe in. And the folks who sort of study these issues, foremost among them, Frank Dobbin and Alexander Caldwell, there are a couple of researchers who have spent years evaluating the literature on diversity training. They think that trainings that sort of are designed to make the dominant group feel bad or blamed or guilty might incite backlash. That's their theory.
Well, there was an interesting example that you pointed out, the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture. They had a graphic that said, rational thought, hard work, and emphasis on scientific method, those are attributes of white culture. I mean, that seems to me just to be completely absurd. And anybody, I don't, black, white, Asian, whatever you are, taking that test would think this is ridiculous.
Right. So that's a really good example of the lack of quality control here. That's inspired by a woman named Tima Okun. She's an activist and diversity trainer type. She came up with this list of so-called characteristics of white culture or white supremacist culture. Not only did that cause a Smithsonian some embarrassment, but here in New York City, there have been multiple lawsuits because our old schools chancellor adopted these trainings and made them mandatory for administrators. And for reasons that are understandable, DOE administrators did not like being told that love of the written word is a manifestation of white supremacy culture.
Wow, you're losing me on all this. I mean, it's, you know, any diversity training I've seen just seems so obvious to me. It's, you know, these little exercises, you don't exclude people because of how they look, or you don't say things in front of them. It just seems so obvious to me. I can't believe this is becoming such a deep thinking exercise.
Yeah, I mean, classically, you know, diversity trainings have been around since the 60s. You have the Civil Rights Act, and you have these new laws that people needed to be informed of. And I think it used to be that the worst thing you could say about diversity trainings is that they were boring. And it's just as this industry has gotten bigger and as there's been more demand, it's gotten, I guess, a bit more colorful would be the diplomatic way to say it.
Well, Jesse, I know, you know, I come from the theater world, and after George Floyd, there was a reckoning on Broadway that Broadway is too white, the theaters are too white, and there's definitely some validity to the criticism. But a lot of my friends in the theaters told me they had to spend a huge amount of money on all of this diversity training and all of these sessions they had to go to when they were just trying to get up shows to survive after the pandemic. And some of them said to me that this whole diversity training thing is a bit of a racket. What do you think?
I think in the case of trainings that really have no evidence underpinning them and where you just can't point to any reason to think they work, I think it is a little bit of a racket. And I think a lot of types of consulting are rackets. A lot of the industries are rackets. There's nothing unique to DEI in that sense, except that a lot of companies really don't see it as an option, and they'll receive pressure to put on these trainings. So, yeah, I think that complaint is valid, not for every diversity training, but for some of the ones I wrote about.
Hey, Jesse, we have less than a minute, but it just seems to me these kind of training sessions are just to protect the management of a company. Say, well, we told our employees, you know, so are they is all this money really protecting them?
You know, that's long been the case that companies think they'll be protected from litigation. I'm not sure that's a safe bet. I'm not an expert in this area. I will say some of the trainings I talk about have actually sparked lawsuits, because the training material is seen as discriminatory. So if you're seeking to prevent lawsuits and then you put on the training and then you get sued over that training, not really mission accomplished.
Jesse Singel, enjoyed speaking with you. Check out his podcast called Blocked and Reported. You can find it on the iHeartRadio app. Come back, Jesse. Interesting stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, coming up next, are commuters psyched up about today's Grand Central Madison opening? Alice Stockton Rossini. Who else? Finds out next.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.